Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Conversation show. We'll give our weekly shout out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Well, welcome back. This is Def Conversations, broadcasting from the Def Con Sauces compound, located deep under a well-known Superfund site in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. We've got another cool show on deck tonight with another great guest from the infernal land of peppers. We'll be taking calls during the show as well. Jot this down, 714-242-5272, if you'd like to call in and talk to myself or our awesome guest this evening. A quick note, we will not have a new show next Tuesday, 127, as our lovely host will be out of town, so we'll replay a previous show. I know. You'll be going through withdrawals. Not a problem. Just go to DefConSauces.com, order up a bunch of wing sauce, habanero horseradishes, and jar rubs, and you'll feel a lot better. Trust me on this one. Anyway, okay, folks, the Wing Bowl 8 event, which that I've been discussing for the last couple of weeks, is this coming weekend. If you are in the area, you know, you might not want to miss it. This Saturday, January 24th, myself and our guest tonight, Hoboken Eddie, will be in attendance at what looks to be a riot. An evening of wings and beer. Yes, wings and beer. Never in the history of man has there been such a combination of abject perfection. Add to the fact that Hoboken Eddie and I will both be there. It's a night you are surely to remember. Again, January 24th from 4:30 to 9 at the Ramada Convention Center in Fishkill, New York. Go to www.hvwingbowl.com for tickets and more information about the event. The tickets are going quickly, folks. Anyway, one more quick update regarding our upcoming release of our first Zero Batch collectible in over 6 years. The release date is coming up, and everyone on the mailing list will be informed a few days before the actual release. We are only making 66 of these little beasties, so if you're not on the mailing list, I suggest getting on it now. John@DefConSauces.com. Shoot me an email. I have to repeat a quick and quite important note regarding the upcoming Zero Batch number 6. Due to unforeseen international border issues and the nature of the components of the Zero Batch number 6, a large number of other countries do not allow this sort of item to be shipped across their borders. Therefore, we will not be able to directly ship any of the Zero Batch number 6s to any international addresses. I know it sucks, and I apologize for this. I really do. But when it comes to international restrictions, I abide by them as it keeps the blacked-out Chevy Suburbans with government plates out of my driveway. Okay, enough of that. Tonight's quick topic is going to be a little different than usual. As you've heard throughout many of the shows we've had, there's a true camaraderie amongst many, if not most, in the hot sauce manufacturer world. What many may or may not know is there's a lot more going on behind the scenes of a manufacturer than just their products. There are the FDA rules and regulations, more every year. Oh, happy joy. And then there's the inherent insurance you have to take for personal product liability, blah, 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 blah. But then there is a facet not many think about. When you hire a lawyer for your company, it's pretty much going to be long-term. I'm not saying you want to give them the retainer they'll probably ask for, but not saying you have to give them one, but you'll probably use them at various times, and it can be annoying to change firms all the time, as well as quite expensive. Well, believe it or not, there are actually food lawyers out there, and they will cost a lot less than a non-food industry lawyer. This kind of brings me to our guest this evening, Ed McCarthy, a.k.a. Hoboken Eddie. Myself and Ed go way back. He may not remember this, but he actually helped us quite a bit very early on, indirectly helping us find a food lawyer. Most may not be aware that most lawyers do not focus on the food industry. When we are young and stupid, we just chose a lawyer out of the phone book. You know, close your eyes, throw a dart for the formation of the company and various food permits and junk we would need. Well, after being juiced for hours upon hours of research, and about 15 grand later, another friend of mine, John Mead, owner of the great Irish pub St. James Gate in Maplewood, New Jersey, knew Ed and got a name of an awesome lawyer that we used for years before he became a judge. Well, our legal fees dropped like a rock. We've done a ton of shows together with Ed, and considering we both had a seriously twisted view on the reality, it's like kismet. It's really cool to see somebody that has such a vast array of different product lines. Some only offer a few when it comes to companies. Some offer a ton of them. Our guest tonight is of the latter group. Many hot and spicy manufacturers out there who are masters of what they do don't really offer it. Most of them don't offer a ton of different products. Like myself, you know, we have our wing sauces, our mainstay. In the last roughly 10 years, we've only had a few products to our lineup. Other manufacturers, like Eddie, have a ton of very different products available, with more than 15 completely different products. He pretty much has something for everyone. I commend him for this, as I would have a hard time keeping track of everything. So without further ado, let's get this show a-rolling. Hoboken, Eddie, is one of the true icons of the industry, something he should definitely be proud of. The guy is funny as hell as well, and I think we should get the insanity started. So, and we'll also be taking calls from all of you as well, so don't be shy. Give us a call, 714-242-5272. Ed, you out there, my brother. Oh, that's a neat noise. Ed, you out there, dude. What the hell was that?
That was a drum roll on the bottom of a 5-gallon bucket.
Oh, you need help, dude. So how you doing, man?
I'm good, John. Good to hear from you.
Oh, absolutely, man. You and I go way back. Now, do you remember John Mead at St. James Gate? You go way back with him.
Yeah, of course I remember John.
Yeah. You actually helped us. What's that?
John used to distribute Coors. He used to work for Coors as well.
Yes. Yep. Yes, he did.
And I actually met him in Hoboken.
Imagine
over a couple of beers.
You drink beer? Oh my God! Heart be still. The earth has stopped rotating. Now I got a question for you. What got you into this industry? The whole hot and spicy world. I mean, what had to be something that tipped the scales for you? What was it?
I was going back to the early '90s, and I was taking a couple of classes. You know, some self help classes. And I had taken a class on home canning, you know, and I was like,
okay.
So that's how you make a vacuum pack. I always thought you drilled a hole in the top of the cap and vacuumed it out and then sealed it up, you know.
Right.
I didn't realize the whole heat process of it. And actually, my first sauce, because it was winter time, was my cranberry apple sauce. You know, so
okay.
It was my cranberry apple, and then coming into the summer, I said, you know, hey, I'll do a barbecue sauce for the summer, you know.
Right.
And then I had bought a bunch of little mason jars and stuff like that, and I was making them in my kitchen up in Hoboken. But what happened was I ran into a problem because while I was making the sauce, I was drinking more beer than the sauce I was making. And then, you know, when it came time to put... When I came down to clean up, I was too tired and just, you know, went and passed out for the next day, you know. And the barbecue the kitchen was like a cross between Charles Manson and Julia Child, you know.
Oh, nice.
I could decorate a kitchen, you know.
Oh my God! Oh, I'm not even gonna go there. Oh my God! No. That's it. It's a PG show. I guess. Oh man. I mean, okay. Now you started off kind of making it for friends and family, I'd imagine.
Well, actually, there was a. I was out of work. I had no money, and I had like maybe $100 left to my name. You know, not that it's any different now, but there was a buddy of mine that had a local butcher shop, and I used to make up cases of barbecue sauce for him, and then I'd go trade them for hamburger meat and cheese and rolls. You know.
Oh, very cool. The old barter system. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we did a barter system, and he'd pass me a few bucks. And then, you know, with the leftover money, I'd get myself some donuts and coffee, and I was gold, you know.
Wow. And then, there had to be a tipping point when you decided, well, I'm going to go legal with this, and I'm going to start doing it right and actually start up a company. I mean, was it that the barbecue sauce was selling well with the butcher? I mean, how'd that work?
Yeah, I was doing well with the butcher, and then what happened was I had opened up a restaurant in Hoboken. It was
nice.
It was like 20 feet by 20 feet, and but I fed between 50 and 100 people a night by myself, you know.
Nice.
But I was saying to myself, okay, all right, you know, those 50 people, okay, their money's going to the landlord. Okay, this money's going to the garbage. This money's going to the electric. This money's going towards replacing product, you know, and I had to figure out how to, you know, get more revenue. So
right.
What happened was I started bottling my soul. I'd come in at the time I didn't have a dollar for the bus. So I was running every day. And I was, at the time I was drinking pretty heavily too. I was about 275 pounds, and then I was broke, so I started running every day, 5 miles to work, because I didn't have a dollar for the bus, and
right.
then working 15 hours, then running 5 miles home. So I did that for about, I did that for about 6 months. That cup turned around down to 155 pounds. Right?
Oh, man.
And I had a really good night, and I was like, I went and sprung for a cab, you know, and I was like, yeah, a cab, you know. And I remember getting, I remember getting out of the car and looking at the driver and giving him a dollar and going, that's for you.
Oh, man. So you came from the earth then. I mean, you came from like dirt nothing, and now you're the infamous Hoboken Eddie.
When I opened my restaurant up, I was out of work for 3 years. I just flown back in from Los Angeles. We flew out to Los Angeles. I had cooked up a turkey, and I had taken half it on the plane and wrapped it up. So it was still hot when it came out of the oven. Like at like, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, wrapped it up, brought it on the plane. When we got on the plane, I opened up. The whole plane smelled like turkey, right? Like roast turkey.
Oh, everyone, no.
Yeah, you, and it's like, you know, it's like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning and no one's eaten yet, you know? So and what do you got on the plane? You got like bread with like a thin slice of mayonnaise on it, you know, you got a wish sandwich, you know. wishing there was something on there, you know. So I opened up this turkey, right? And the whole plane smelled like Thanksgiving, right? So then the cocktail stewardess comes up and is like, oh, what's that? I was like, oh, it's a turkey I roasted off for the flight, so we have something to eat. So we took care of all the hostesses on the plane, right?
Sure.
So we drank for free the whole flight out to Los Angeles, right?
There it is again, the barter system. You gotta love the barter system.
Yeah, and I'm a giver, you know. So I'm feeding all the waitresses, right? And it's like, bing, bing. Everyone sheets up, put your belts on, and then the stewardess comes up to me. She goes, "Well, that's not for you guys. You want to know?"
That's awesome. Oh man.
So we're pulling into the landing strip. They're still flinging us beers, right? So
right.
we get into Los Angeles and we drive down to Tijuana, right? You know,
oh,
research.
Nice.
Research.
Oh yeah, donkey shows and research. Absolutely, yeah, gotcha.
So we get down there and we end up, and we're gonna run the marathon in like 3 days, 4 days, right? We're in Los Angeles. We drive down to Tijuana and then we gotta come back. So we drove down to Tijuana. And we did a triathlon down there. Like you said, it's PG, so I can't really tell you what the triathlon was. But it involved tequila, beer, and some attractive young ladies, all right? So,
there you go. Yeah, they were serving you the beer, right? They were serving you the beer.
You know I'm being on my best behavior here right now.
I can tell. I'm quite shocked.
Yeah, because if I wasn't, I'd be saying Quaaludes, Coronas, and Horus, but I'm not going to go there, all right?
No, you shouldn't. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. You crack me up. So now you're in Tijuana.
So we're in Tijuana, and then, I ran the Los Angeles Marathon. I finished it in 6 hours. I usually run a marathon when I'm sober. I'll run a marathon about 4.5 hours, but... We ate tacos and drank beers and had our smokes along the way just took our time. We just had a blast. And then when I came home,
it's called sightseeing marathon, yeah.
The thing of it was, too, it was a Sunday, right? And you can't serve alcohol or whatnot before a certain time, right? You see us three white boys walking to this bar, and it's like, you know, okay, you know, no CVA, no service. And me, I speak fluent Spanish. So I was like, you know, hey, come on, Primo. This is who I am. This is what we're doing. They're like, okay, lock the doors. Get them all beers. We got there.
Cerveza!
I was speaking the language. Hey, Primo, tiene dinero para tuya. Quiere una cerveza ahora. You know, so he was just up.
Right.
And we drank pretty heavily. And then we flew home. I was still out of work, and I was at this bar, and a guy said to me, goes, there's a restaurant for sale downstairs. I said, how much is it? He was like, it's $1,000. I said, I'll take it. He goes, you haven't seen it. I said, I don't care. You know, he goes, I go, no, I don't. He's like, yeah, you got to see it. I'm like, no, I don't. He goes, you got to see it. Okay, son, let's go. Okay, I go down there. It's a shithole. It's covered in grease, and, oh, it was nasty. Kid looked at me, and he goes, what do you think? I said, I'll take it.
Oh, man.
And I opened up that restaurant. I had, you know, again, the barter system. I had done a lot of favors for people over the years. And
sure.
I had one of my local guys that had the dry goods, plates and napkins and stuff like that. He took care of me and said, Eddie, next time you order, you just pay up the last bill, and then we'll carry you this way. And then the same thing with my meat guy. So I opened up a simple menu, you know, chicken, barbecue, salads, fish, a little bit of everything, pork. And then I said, you know what, I'm getting $7 for a sandwich with fries and a side. I said, you know what, I need to bring it up more. So I said, let me go ahead and start bottling my sauces. But, I mean,
right.
The thing of it is, believe it or not, you see me, and I'm actually in better shape than I was back then. I got 28 marathons and 6 ultimates, including a 100-mile race. I ran the Iditarod. I ran 100 miles in the middle of Alaska in the middle of the winter and finished.
Well, we all know you're insane, so I mean, it's par for the course,
yeah.
Dude.
And that was without training. And I'll tell you what was fun about Alaska. It was 100 miles. It took me 13 joints. It was like running in a big bong. It was really, really cool.
You weren't pulling sleds, were you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's called the Iditarod, and what it is it's 100 miles of the Iditarod, and you pull the sled. You're the dog, you know.
Oh God.
In this case, I was the salty dog. So when I came back to the restaurant, you know, I was like trying to get more money out of a customer coming in. And because of all the marathons I ran, I mean, like I did a Marine Corps marathon. So we stopped off in Philadelphia. I'm sure you know, you probably had Pat's steaks, right?
Yep, sure.
All right, and they have a hot sauce out there. I was like, man, I really like this. And when I came back, I recreated it. When I was in Los Angeles, I was running the marathon, and they had a green salsa, and I created my Mean Green, you know.
Okay.
When I was over in the islands, I liked their habanero mustard and made my mustard, and then, you know, so on and so on. So, like, I never just made sauces to, like, oh, this would be a good idea, you know, I can make money on this, you know. It was like, no, I like this sauce, and I duplicate it for myself, you know.
Well, see, I'll tell you what, with that, you're a lot like me, because I can't make a product that I don't personally like. How am I supposed to say it tastes good if I can't stand it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. And that's the way all my sauces. I mean, I heard you like earlier saying, you know, I actually have like 21 sauces out on the market right now.
Right.
But it's not like, this is barbecue. Okay, this is hotter barbecue. Okay, this is hotter barbecue. This is sweeter barbecue. It's not a variation of the same damn sauce. Every one of my sauces has its own personality, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we dive into those? Let people out there get an idea of what you got. We'll start off with the barbecue sauces. You got, I mean, the ones I got listed here, the Jamaican and Asian and an apple brandy. I mean, what are the differences with those?
Okay, my Jamaican barbecue. I lived in the islands. I lived in the mountains with the good people, having the guava duff and the peas and rice, and it was very nice. Rub it upside all the while. So I lived in Jamaica for a while. You know, I lived in the mountains with the good people. So, you know, I had a lot of curry goat over there. I had a lot of jerk food. And I mean, basically, your background spice is going to be allspice, cinnamon, curry, cumin, and ginger. And the jerk sauces over there are a lot hotter because they put in a scotch bonnet. Well, if I put the scotch bonnet in there, and get completely typical, it's going to be too hot for most palates. So, you know, I make a mild version, and then I make a puree of habanero called effing hot sauce. And if you want it hotter, put your damn peppers in there, you know?
Right.
And then the Asian barbecue, That's a pretty good story. The Asian barbecue, what happened was, going back about 30 years ago, my brother Tommy had a birthday, and they had a big pig roast for him, and he had to work, so he missed the party. And some dumb son of a bitch knew I was a chef and said, "Eddie, we want you to carve the pig." So I said, "Okay, no problem." So I went out to my car, got my knife, got my apron, and got my Ziploc bags, right? So when I'm carving the pig, I cut off half the pig, cut off all the ribs, and put it in the Ziploc bags. They said, "What are you doing?" I go, "It's my brother's birthday. This is for my brother."
Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, too, man. Those people were hungry. There was nothing left on that pig. I mean, they were eating the teeth, you know. They were pulling the eyes out. They were eating the snout. There was nothing left. I had one-third of the pig in the back of my truck where, for me and my brother, the party was over, you know. So
that's funny.
So me and my brother Tommy, we get back to the house, and we're all banged up, you know. We had a few beers in this, and, you know, we're pretty lit up, right? But we got ribs, you know. You know, and they were, I'm hungry, you know. I'm like, I got the ribs, you know. So I
wait a minute, wait, Ed. I think so. I think we got a call in for you. You want to talk to someone?
All right, sure.
Yeah, put them on. Who we got out there?
They hung up.
Hello? Yeah, is there anybody out there? Sounds like a Floyd song.
Is there anybody?
All right, as you were. Never mind.
All right, so,
next.
So we're at his house, right? And he's got nothing in his damn fridge. He's got nothing in his damn fridge, right? He's got, and his butter dish, I open it up, and like 1,000, you know, you get Chinese food, and you get those little packets, and you just never throw them out. You just find a new spot for them. Well, so his spot was the butter dish, right? So I opened up the butter dish, and 100 of those plastic things come flying all over the floor. Now, I can't even see the floor, let alone pick them up, right? So I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. So I took his scissors, and I opened them all up and squeezed them out into a pot, and then he had a bottle of ketchup in there, and he had like a jar of plum jelly in there. So I threw that all in the pot and mixed it up and boiled it down, added some garlic to it, and that was our barbecue sauce, right?
Right.
Now, for 25 years, that recipe has been in my head, you know, not written down, just in my head on what the basics was, you know. The mustard, the apricot, you know, the duck sauce, the hot sauce, the soy sauce, you know, just all those little packets of wonder, right? So for 25 years, I didn't do nothing with it. And then I had bottled it, and I called it Korean barbecue. Well, it was really good, but no one was buying it. And then I figured it out. It's because all of my distributors were Italian distributors, and they hated the Koreans because they were stealing up all their Labadegos in China. In Little Italy.
Oh, God. That's funny.
So I said, you know what? Change the name, right? And I was like, okay, you know, let me just call Asian barbecue. Then you can pick out whatever you love and whoever you hate, okay? So if you hate the Japanese, pretend it's a Chinese sauce. If you hate the Chinese, pretend it's a Japanese sauce. I don't give a rat's ass, you know? And that's how I came up with the Asian barbecue, you know?
Right.
And the Asian barbecue is, one of my favorite Chinese dishes is General Tao's chicken, right?
Right,
so it's
like that
General Tao's chicken, only you're not getting that phantom gum cornstarch film on your tongue. You know what I mean?
It's got I know exactly what you mean.
Nice flavor to it, you know.
That's cool.
And then
I know we're gonna try this again. Maybe there's somebody out there this time. Who's out there, man?
It's probably family.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, dude.
Hi there. Is this the show? Is this where Hoboken Eddie is?
He's right here.
Hoboken Eddie. Oh, my God. We love Hoboken Eddie. We're up here in Liberty, New York. We love Hoboken Eddie sauce. Are you kidding me? We put his hot sauce on all our sandwiches here in my shop.
What's the name of your shop?
The name of my shop? It's called Floyd and Bobo's Bakery and Snack Palace.
Okay, what is your
name? Liberty,
Zach?
New York, up in the Catskills.
What is your name?
We are in the Bosch Belt, the Jewish Alps.
What is your name, damn it?
What's that?
He wants to know your name, dude.
My name is Louie.
Louie, it's Louie, Eddie.
This is Louie.
Is that Louie from Liberty?
Louie from Liberty, that's me. Louie from Liberty up in the Jewish Alps, that's me.
Hey, Louie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How's it going over there? How's the weather?
Louie from Liberty, how you doing?
Louie from Liberty, that's me. Oh, my God. What does Louie from Liberty have to do to get Hoboken Eddie hot sauce? All I do is make a phone call. I go online, and I order that hot sauce. Let me tell you something. That effing hot sauce, that's the best thing I've ever eaten. I put it on everything. I put it on my cereal in the morning.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey, Louie, do me a favor. Spell sauce.
Yes. What's that?
Spell sauce for me.
Sauce?
Yeah.
The way I say it or the way it's really spelt?
Spelt, that's S-P-E-L-T. Oh, too funny. Well, hey, nobody say he said he puts the effing hot stuff on his cereal in the morning. That's Breakfast of Champions right there.
Oh, man. That's Joey Bagadonis. Hey, Louie.
Oh, God, we got another one. Who we got over here now?
Oh, Frozen, read it off the hook.
Hi, guys. It's Lori.
Oh, look out. There goes the neighborhood.
I'm in for the Jersey Boys. Hi, guys.
How you doing? Can you hear us?
Oh, my dog wants to
hear. Is that Lori from Jersey?
Yeah. Lori
Hey, what's up to that, Lori?
The Brilliant Ideas radio show, girl.
Yeah.
One of the finest Jersey girls I've ever met. Well, I haven't met her yet.
Oh,
we will.
I haven't met her. Oh, definitely we're going to meet you guys. Definitely.
Okay.
I'm having you guys this summer for a big barbecue.
Oh, excellent.
We're already working on it. No, I'm serious. Yep.
Oh, so am I.
A big cook-off with grill.
Oh, man.
I'll do all the cooking. John can be my lovely assistant, and you just let us know when your boyfriend's out of town.
Absolutely.
And I'll do what? Do what?
No.
My baby's been out there. What'd you say?
Don't worry about him. He's being bad, Eddie.
You guys are so funny. Keep up the great job. I just wanted to call in, support you guys, and say, this Jersey girl loves you, so.
Oh, thank you.
We love you too, Jersey. Hey, Lauren.
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm here.
I've seen some pictures of your boyfriend. He's pretty big, but I'm a good runner.
Yeah, running away from him?
This is going nowhere good now. I see this coming. Oh, my God. All right, let's get back. Okay, how about we get back to some of your products here, bud?
We
pretty much got the Asian one. Everybody knows about the Asian one. Now we got the neat one. I thought it was kind of cool. The apple brandy barbecue sauce.
Okay, the apple brandy. See, when I first started, when I first bottled my sauce, and everyone's like, "Wow, the flask, that's genius." I mean, the bottom line was it was nothing about genius. It just said, I'm 100% Irish and 200% cheap son of a bitch. I was thinking that, hey, I'll put it in a flask and I'm not going to buy bags. They can put it in their back pocket and go on and get out of here,
So, love it.
So basically, I put it in a flask, and the flask I ended up buying from another Jersey guy you might know. His name is Larry Laird from Laird
yes.
& Company down in Colts Neck.
Yep.
Right? So, Laird's, they make booze. It's called either Applejack or they call it Apple Brandy Barbecue. They have different grades of it, Like
yep.
Bush and Michelob, you know what I mean? So
to cut you off because the Lairds, I actually met. Oh God, when the Devils were played at the Meadowlands, they had I think it was the Winners Club, whatever, the little private bar thing in there, and it was one of his relatives. I don't know if it was one of his sisters or something like that. Was actually one of the Lairds, and she had the whole story to tell about the Applejack stuff. Kind of cool.
Was she about our age?
A little bit older.
It might have been his daughter Linda.
I don't remember the name, but she was a Laird, and she worked the bar at the Winners Club.
Well, it's like 225 years, maybe more now, you know.
Right. Right.
And actually, George Washington used to drink Laird's Applejack.
No kidding.
Yeah. And
turn his teeth to wood.
I think if you blow up that picture of him going across the river, I think he's got a bottle in his hand. I'm not really sure.
No, that's your up and hot sauce, dude.
I'll Photoshop one in there.
Yeah, there you go. I know you will.
So
the apple brandy, though, what would you what's it good on? I mean, what would you say the best thing to put it on is?
The apple brandy, I use it for like a pork tenderloin, or I use it for baby back ribs. You know.
Okay. Cool.
And that's real booze that I put in there too. I got to cook it down, but that's authentic apple brandy that's in there. You know.
That's good.
That shows
you more Irish than you think you are.
To me, it was painful at first because to me that was alcohol abuse. You know, pouring that stuff in there. You know, I'm like, yeah. But I'll tell you what, the help always loves when I make it because I always pour everybody a shot before we get started, you know.
Like, there you go. Yeah, you got to make it work good.
Yeah, and they always say, gracias, primo.
Okay, now we're gonna move. We're gonna move out of the barbecue sauce. We're gonna get into the mustards. The first one that caught my eye was the raspberry honey mustard. That just sounds different.
Well, the raspberry honey mustard, I actually made it to break somebody's balls. I know you find that hard to believe, but
yeah, imagine that.
I had a buddy of mine who had an ice cream shop, and he said he had this raspberry honey mustard at this store one time. It was really good. If I could make it for him, I said, yeah,
right.
Okay. So I got in my raspberries, got in my honey, and I got in a French imported poupon, right? So I was going to make a gallon of it and, you know, call it a day, right? So he comes over while I'm making it, and he's like, it needs more raspberry. So I put more raspberry in there. Then he comes back in. He goes, it needs more honey. So I put more honey back in there. He comes in, more mustard in there, right? Now he comes over and does this like five or six damn times, right? Next thing, I went from a gallon to like 10 gallons, right? And, you know, I got $100 into it. I'm like, well, what the hell am I going to do with this, right? So his cousin was the one in Hoboken, Julio's, that owned the butcher shop. And this guy's name was Freddie, and you know, he had like a little bit of a Jersey slur to his accent, so he was like, you know, he called like a pretzel dip. You know, hey, you gotta make that pretzel dip, Eddie. I'm like, okay. So my first label I did on a computer, and I just called it Freddy's Pretzel Dip. You know, and I just put all these mason jars and just put it at the butcher shop, just so I made a couple bucks back. You know,
right.
Well,
it ended up taking off.
You know. And it was like, you know, I got a call like 2 weeks later and says, hey, we sold out of that the pretzel dip more. I'm like, oh, shit, you know. So then it's been on the menu ever since.
Oh, wait, got another person on here. Who we got this time? Hello?
Is there anybody out there?
Hello? All right, back to your story.
So I ended up making it again, you know, and it ended up being one of my biggest sellers. And then what was cool about it is I found out that a lot of women and children loved it. So it was like, you know, if you get a kid to try a sauce and he likes it, he's going to tug on his mom's shirt and say, "Mom, I want that." You know, even if she's stopping by, you know, one of them fast food places and getting some chicken fingers, he has something to dip it in, and he's happy and he's quiet, and mom gets a peace of mind for about a minute. You know.
There you go. So, there you go. See, you're helping the world one mother at a time. See that?
Oh, yeah. I'm all family. I'm all about the family.
That's right. And you got the Midas touch with it. It's like, well, that's actually the Irish Midas touch. It's the Mick Midas touch. Who we got out there?
Hello.
Yep.
Hello.
Hey.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Big Petey.
Hey, Big D.
Big Petey.
Big Petey?
We use your sauces up in the Big Nyack sub shop.
Okay.
You came in Nyack? You came in Nyack,
yeah.
And gave me the bottles?
Oh, okay. How you doing, Big Petey? Petey, you there? Petey.
Hello.
I'm Petey. What's up? It's Big Petey.
Hey, Big Petey, how we doing? Petey, come on.
Okay.
Petey.
Okay, I think we're running around the cul-de-sac
Petey.
Here.
Oh, well.
All right. Now, moving on from the raspberry honey mustard, then we got the habanero mustard laced with horseradish. This one just sounds like a bomb.
I'm actually making that right now. I got that in the kettle right now. I'm at the factory bottling that right now. The thing is, with the habanero mustard, it's a painful sauce because between the...
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, but you know what? When I'm going to make it, like the next day, and I know I'm going to make it, everyone's like, "Hey, what are we making tomorrow?" I'm like, I don't know yet. If I tell them I'm making the habanero mustard, nobody shows up, you know? But it's fun. It's fun to look around the room and see, like, wet towels around their nose and their eyes and stuff like that. It's cool.
Well, that was funny because I used to grind, before we came out with the horseradish, I used to grind my own for years. My grandmother taught me how to make the stuff. And it was funny. I tell Maggie to get the hell out of the house, go shopping or something like that. And we're big scuba divers.
Yeah.
So I basically get the mask on with the respirator with a bottle of Nitrox next to me and sit there like Darth Vader. I'm making the horseradish. It was hilarious.
Oh, man. Because, once it hits that heat, and especially if you're adding the vinegar to it, and then it's like steam in the air, it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. And then.
What do you find that good on?
Oh, my habanero mustard. I love that. Okay, what I use it for? I make deviled eggs with it, which is quick and easy, right? Nice and easy.
There you go.
But I put it on any form of ham, hot dog, kielbasa, right? I like it with my egg rolls, you know, like Chinese mustard. And
sure.
The funny thing is, with the habanero mustard, I have a spicy mustard and I have habanero mustard. The spicy is a jalapeno, and what happens is, if I can't tell the difference in the color, I keep adding habaneros to it till it has that nice pink color. So sometimes it's even hotter than it's supposed to be.
Oh shucks.
One
of your products is pretty well known out there is the Mean Green. Now, you said that was one of your first ones.
Yeah, the Mean Green was one of my first sauces. It's actually pretty simple. It's a pureed jalapeno, and then instead of using cornstarch and xanthan gum, I use apricot to thicken it up, and then I grace it with some light cumin curry and some lemon lime juice. And it's nice.
So it's got a nice little bite to it then.
Yeah.
Nice.
And with the jalapenos. And I mean,
you
know too, John, I grow over 20,000 pounds of peppers a year too.
Yeah. Is there something you don't do?
I never did like beef.
That's an open-ended question. I'm sorry.
Is there someone I won't do or something I won't do?
Something you want. I mean, because you seem, man, you're running marathons, you're running Iditarods, pulling sleds, you're growing tens of thousands of pounds of peppers. What don't you do? Do you ever sleep?
I get a good 4 to 6 hours of sleep a night, whether I need it or not, you know.
Oh, okay. I was going to say a week, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm out here now. I mean, I spoke with you last week before I came out here. I drove out here Thursday, drove 14 hours out here, slept a couple hours, and then we drove up to Jungle Gyms in Cincinnati and did demos
right.
from like 11 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, 2 days in a row, back to back. You know,
good God,
I fed over 1,000 people.
Right, right.
And then now I'm going to come home. I'm going to meet up with you this weekend, but I got to make sauce. I was out of 4 sauces, so I got to make them tonight and tomorrow before Thursday I'm coming home. So I'm going to be bottling sauce here till about 10 o'clock tonight. Then tomorrow I'll bottle sauce till about 9 o'clock tonight at night, and then I'll drive home Thursday. Then Friday I got to pull orders. I'm sending Rich down to one of my buddies down to a beer festival in the city, and then I'm doing a barbecue for 200 people at a brewery called Defiant Brewery over there by Pearl River, and then I'm doing that in the morning till about 2 o'clock. Then I'm going to drive up to see you in Nyack, not Nyack. I'm going to drive up to see you in, where the hell are we going to be?
Fishkill.
Fishkill. And then you and me are going to do that Wing Festival for 2,000 people.
Right, right.
You know?
And we're sharing a table. I talked to the Anthony guy. No, we're actually sharing a table. It's going to be intimate.
Well, it was going to be intimate anyway. We didn't need his help.
Yeah. I got Maggie here to throw the scalding water on us if we get too close.
Okay, well, then you'll have to point her out, and I'll have to have my minions take her out of the picture.
You're too funny. Oh, my God. Okay. Now, let's move on. Let's move on to the next one here. We got was it Merle's Magic? Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yeah. Merle's Magic was it's an orange pineapple laced with jalapeno and red pepper. Now,
okay.
This is going back. I made that. Let me see. My daughter is 16. So I made that sauce. I designed that sauce 17 years ago, right?
Wow. There you go.
And at the time when I was making it, I wanted something mango-y, you know, and I was like, you know what? Everyone's got a mango sauce, you know? And I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna make a mango sauce. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make an orange pineapple sauce and just keep it simple. You know, and then I made it, and I loved the color of it, and I loved the flavor, and it ended up becoming one of my top sellers, you know.
And
I'll tell you what, I do demos now. I just take a plate, and I smash cream cheese to the plate and spread it out so that it doesn't move around on the plate. And then I throw the Merle's Magic over the top of it. And then people just come up and put it on the crackers, and it's just like, oh, my God, that's so good. You know, it's just quick and easy. You know? And it's like, hey, what do you put this on? You know, you just find one – that's the thing. You find one good thing to put your sauce on and promote that one thing, and it's going to sell. You know, I mean, over the holidays, I did demos, and I said, you know how it is? You go to a party, you bring a bottle of wine, and the host goes, oh, thank you for the wine. Hey, let me put that away. And you brought that good wine because you wanted to drink it because you knew they were serving shit wine, right? But
that's
you bring a good bottle of wine, and then they go hide the bottle in the back, and you never see it again. So I tell people, I say, hey, look, here's a $1.50 piece of cream cheese. It's in its foil already. Here's a paper plate. Here's a bottle of sauce, and here's a bottle of Ritz crackers. You walk in the door, you put this plate down. You smush the cream cheese, you pour the Merle's, you surround it in crackers, and for the rest of the night, everyone goes, who brought this? Oh, this is so wonderful. And they're like, oh, that was Carrie over there made that. Oh, my God, Carrie, that was so good. Oh, thank you. You know? And I said,
you do that a little too well. I want to bring one here because this one really caught my eye though. It's the cranberry apple chutney. I mean, this has like the kitchen sink in it.
It's cranberries, apples, raisins, cran cherries, orange peel, vanilla, cinnamon, brown sugar, and allspice.
And it's similar to fruit juices.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, you gotta cook the cranberries first and let it be a complete sauce first, right?
Right.
And then when you add the apples, you gotta add the apples, and then you gotta. And as soon as
you're breaking up a little bit.
You make that big a batch of it, because what happens is the apples will turn into mush. So you gotta wait for the apples to fall below the surface, and then you gotta jar it really quick.
Okay. Now that's only available for a set time during the year too, so it's good. You kind of got to jump on it.
Yeah, I only make like say 100 gallons of it, and I don't sell. If you don't sell that before Thanksgiving, it's on your shelf for the rest of the year. You know.
Right.
People only buy cranberry sauce for Thanksgiving, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, you never know. Throw it on some pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. If you take pizza dough and fold it in like a calzone, and then brush the top with a light egg and then some cinnamon sugar, it would be like almost like a cranberry apple pie calzone. That would be pretty good.
Hey! Bring the Stromboli in there. Make it a sweet boli.
Yeah, sweet boli. Sweet.
Yeah.
Boli.
Hey, see, I'm onto something here. I had an epiphany.
Right? That's what it is, epiphany. I had an epiphany here.
Oh my God! All right, now I want to get a real hot one in here. Now you got the homegrown. It's very simple. You label it as a very hot pepper sauce. Nice and simple.
Yeah. Yeah. I've come up with the fancy names and like you mentioned the Jamaican barbecue. When I first made the Jamaican barbecue, it was called Rasta Relish, all right? You know, like I said, I spent time in Jamaica with the Rastafarians, and it was like, hey, Rasta Relish, you know? One who feels it knows it. But when I was doing demos, the font was a fajita font, so it looked like it said pasta relish, right? So all these pythons are coming up to me and going, I know, I don't put anything on my pasta except for the gravy. You know, I'm not going to put the pasta sauce, the pasta relish on my macaroni. So I was like, it's not pasta, it's rasta, all right? And every time someone said pasta relish, my eyes would get up, my face would turn red, and I'd just bite my tongue. Then one day what happened was, I changed it to Jamaican barbecue, you know? And then someone goes, oh, I bet this is like a jerk sauce. Yeah, wow, taking them smart pills again. Good for you. Right? So I changed the name, right? And I get this letter. I get this letter from Australia, right? Hey, Mike, really enjoyed the pasta relish. Grilled up some lamb on the barbie and tossed it with some angel hair. It was the best pasta sauce I've ever had, mate. Keep up the good work. I was like, you can't win. So you want to...
All right, now, with the homegrown stuff, what's the homegrown stuff all about?
Okay, the homegrown, when I first started the homegrown, it was from planters that I had on Tar Beach on my rooftop in Hoboken. So I used to grow my pepper plants on the rooftop in Hoboken, and then I see
Tar Beach. I like the name. I like the name. It's very nice.
Yeah, it was just, you know, nice and simple. You know, it was homegrown, so was like, the first year I made the first batch I made was 100 bottles. You know, 100 half pints, and it was like now that one sauce alone, I do say 400 cases. Times 50, what's that, 20,000 bottles? Now I do 20,000 bottles of that sauce a year. And now we have fields of peppers that we grow out here in Indiana to make that sauce.
Right.
And then going back a couple of years ago, you know, I had like 15, 55-gallon drums of bread. And I said, you know what, hey, I may not sell it all this year, and you know, and then I'm going to have more peppers coming in, you know, for the season. So,
right.
I had some orange mandarin peppers and red bells, which you know, the orange are like it's
sure.
like a red bell only they're orange, right?
Right, right.
But they were delicious. So I have this like 3 foot Weber grill, charcoal, and a buddy of mine owns a lumber company, so out in Kentucky. So he gets me all the hickory I want. So what he does is he's making railroad ties out of the hickory, and then I get the end cuts, you know, with the shag bark on it still, you know?
Sure.
So he made me like 2 foot long planks that are about an inch to 2 inch thick, and then I'll put, I mean, no, people don't know how to use charcoal, you know? So I take two handfuls of charcoal at the most, and I put that in the middle of a 3 foot, 4 foot grill. That's all I need is two handfuls. And then
right.
I take the two planks and lay them, you know, butt up to each other so that they catch on fire. Then I put it on and smother it out.
Right.
Cover up. There's actually a video of it on YouTube. It's called Hoboken Eddie's Harvest. Two words. Hoboken Eddie's, one word, harvest on YouTube, and I made, like, say, about 20 five-minute videos, and it shows you how to smoke the peppers and stuff. It's pretty cool.
See, that's another thing you're doing. You're such an entrepreneur, man. You make me so proud to know you.
I appreciate that, John. the thing is, I never have more than, you know, two nickels to rub together, so it's like I'm always, you know, trying to work it out. Okay, well, how can I do this? And, you know, most cost-effectively, and certainly, you know, time is money, so in the best time frame, too, you know.
We've had other people on the show as well, and a lot of them say the same thing. It's like when you make something, keep it simple. I mean, you don't need 58 ingredients into something to make it taste good.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, those peppers, it's a combination because, I mean, you know as well as I do, a habanero pepper hits you this spot. A cayenne hits you this spot. A jalapeno
right.
hits you this spot. So it hits sort of your tongue. So I have, you know, five or six different peppers. They give you the board.
Oh, you're breaking up, dude.
All right. So when you eat the peppers, you're eating them across.
Eddie, you moving around, man? Sit still.
No, I'm here, Bob. I'm here.
Okay.
You good?
Yeah, okay. Yep, you're breaking up. I don't know if maybe it's just my phone, but it sounds like you're breaking up a little bit.
All right. To ask me to sit still is a lot in itself, but I am sitting
right.
still.
Okay.
All right. So I had the homegrown, and that was a hot sauce. And I said, you know what? I don't need to make a hotter sauce. So I smoked the red and the mandarins, and they were sweet, and then I cut the homegrown in half with them. So basically the homegrown is cut in half with the smoked sweet peppers, and then that's my smoked homegrown. And then my buddy was like, okay, what do we call it? Do we call it smoked homegrown? Do we call it homegrown smoked? I said, who gives a shit? So I had the homegrown label. So I had the homegrown label, and I made my own little...
Uh-oh. Oh, man. Oh, you're breaking up bad.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Oh man, we're breaking up bad. Oh,
are you there?
Damn it. Yeah, try again.
Johnny, can you hear me?
Yes, I can kind of hear you. I'll tell you what. Yeah, the reception is really starting to get a little on the bad side. I'm wondering, how's your battery in that thing?
The battery's good. I'm fully charged here.
Okay, cool. All right, you're coming in good now. Okay, continue.
All right. So I cut the peppers in half with the sweet peppers, and then homegrown. The label is pretty much already complete, and I didn't really change any ingredients. So I just took smoked and put it over the homegrown. And then you know what? You want to call it homegrown smoked, or you want to call it smoked homegrown? I don't care. You know. And then that was it.
Well, hey, you can also call it smoking the homegrown.
Yeah. Homegrown is all right with me. Homegrown is good.
Oh my God, you're funny. Well, I do have one question for you though. I got one serious question. Do you have any kind of a culinary background, or you're just kind of winging it and having fun?
I left home when I was 16, and so my first job was washing pots, right?
Gotcha.
And then they saw how good I was. I got promoted to dishwasher like within a week.
Okay.
And then after I got promoted to dishwasher, this woman taught me how to make soups, and she said, Eddie, if you know how to make soups and gravies, you can make anything. And that was back when I was 16.
Okay.
And as a result, I ended up becoming a master saucier.
Listen to you with the fancy words. Oh my goodness.
And then I worked for the Marriott Corporation for close to 15 years. And I own a few restaurants of my own, and I was a professor at the French Culinary Institute in Manhattan.
Well, so are you, Mr. Oh, man. Oh, look at this. Look at it. Man, you are endeavoring. What are you? Jesus Christ. You kill me.
You see me, John. I'm in T-shirts and jeans all the time, you know. I'm not all about that suit and tie or the big uniform, you know. I just go
me neither.
You know?
Yeah. No, you gotta be real to yourself. I mean, uniform is that's all it is. It's covering something up.
Well, I'm actually recognized as a chef in like 40 countries. I cook French, German. I do sushi. I cook Chinese, Japanese, Spanish. I'll do typical for Dominican, Puerto Rican, Mexican, Cuban. You know, and then soups and sauces. I could make a different soup every day for 10 years, you know, not even repeat the same soup.
Well, Eddie, I hate to tell you this, but it looks like our hour is up. You're talking about time flies.
All right. I look forward to spending time with you this weekend, Baba.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Put on your party head. It's going to be one of those kind of weekends. And, Eddie, I definitely want to get you back on here. We'll talk about more because you always got something to talk about. It's freaking awesome, dude.
Hey, where's something sexy for me?
Oh, I got my velvet fondue with gun holsters. I'll be rocking it.
All right, I love you, John. Thanks for having me.
I'll say hi to Maggie. I'll see you this weekend, dude.
All right, brother. Thanks, John.
All right.
All right, brother.
The AKA Hoboken Eddie for joining us tonight. Check out the line of products at HobokenEddies.com. His assortment of products will definitely satisfy any palate, and I urge you to check them out. We here at DEFCON Sources wishing him the best of luck and look forward to seeing Eddie this coming weekend at Wing Bowl 8 in Fishkill, New York. Just a reminder, if you want to have a chance of scoring one of our newest collectibles, the Zero Batch number 6, you got to get on the mailing list, john@DEFCONSauces.com. So until next time, this is John Dilley, president of DEFCON Sauces, creator of the finest wing sauces, habanero horseradishes, and dry rubs. Bidding everyone a good night. Check us out at DEFCONSauces.com. So until next week, when we pull another slightly twisted individual out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Good night, everybody. I'm out of here.
Give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm on the 1% patches on the leather vest. And every outlaw biker that I met on the west, I'll probably never see the Opry. If I did, I'd laugh. I'd probably break some long necks, then go out like cash. They bumped me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go, and some of those shows were with David Allen Coe. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating, a different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept 2. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hey, 3 knows me, and Shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. Give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a ready as hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can ready as hell before the speed stops.
Let me get that mic one time, I'll show you how a southern boy does it. And pour another round for my moonshine cousins. A toast to the west, courtesy of the south. Brought to you by Colt Ford, people all aboard. This the midnight rider, call me baby Bo Sleepers. For truckers and one percenters, I'm the southern representative. The midnight rider, a shotgun shooter, real bad motherfucker. I'm the liquor store looter. Any way you want it, I can give it to you, baby. If you're working just right, maybe you can get the gravy. Damn, Katy Perry was right. This Cali girl need to come to the south and see that southern swirl. I'm a mud digging, frog gigging, blue collar man. Love Waylon Jennings, Skinner, and Uncle Sam. What you see is what you get. That's all that I am. If you don't like that, I don't give a damn, cause I'm a whiskey.